Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma Zayin. We are on Zayin Amud Aleph. From the very top, we're starting with the words Amar Rav Sheshes, but let's just go over a little bit of background as we touch on a really fundamental topic over the course of the end of yesterday's daf and today's daf. And that is the question of whether Tumas Hutra B'Tzibor or Dechuya B'Tzibor. It is a very basic question in that we know that there are allowances, dispensations given by the Torah that if a if we're talking about a carbon tzibor and it's kavu azman and it's got a calendaric date attached to it, like any of the karbanos that are brought in Yantiv. So the halacha is that if it's tumas mace, so there's an allowance to bring the karban in a state of tuma. And this is the basic dispensation. The source of it we're going to cover in just a moment. It comes from the karban Pesach, which we're going to cover momentarily. The Amoraim, and as we're going to learn later, perhaps the Tanaim as well. Definitely. But the Amoraim and the Tanaim are in debate over the following. When the Torah is mati, when the Torah gives this allowance to offer in a carbon in a state of tuma, under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to do that. That would be an absolute disqualification to bring a carbon in a state of tuma. Going into the base of Mikdash in a state of tuma already rings up an Isser Daraisa to bring a carbon in a state of tuma. So that for sure is going to be prohibited as well. But for Tumas Mason, a carbon seber, kavu azman, so it's going to be motor. So what do the Amoraim debate and the Tanaim? They debate over the following. So one position, which is the sheet of Rav Nachman, is that Tumas Hutra B'Tzibor, which means that the allowance, the dispensation is 100% allowance. The Torah basically says that under these circumstances, we ignore Tuma altogether. A total ignoring of Tuma and a total allowance for us to do the Avodah. I mean the Kohanim, a total allowance for us to do the Avodah in a state of Tuma. That sheet is Rav Nachman. Rav Shesha says no. It's Tumas Dechuya B'Tzibor. Dechuya means that the Torah allows for it, but begrudgingly. The Torah basically says that, look, if there's no other way to do it, so then offer it B'Tuma. But if there's another avenue you can go down, so you should take that other avenue and don't go down the pathway of Tuma. That's the machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says Tumas Hutra B'Tzibor. Rav Sheshes says Tumas Dechuya B'Tzibor. Nafka Mina, how would that play out? So the Gemara yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, went over the following Nafka Mina. Let's say, now there are two versions of this Nafka Mina. I'll go over version number one. In version one, number one in the Nafka Mina, let's say we have a Beis Av. That means that we have not only Kohanim set aside to a particular Mishmar, but on top of that, they're also going to be penciled into a particular Beis Av. A Mishmar means that you're going to be working in the Beis HaMikdash a particular week. A Beis Av means that you're working within a day of that week. So you have a particular Beis Av. So that means that you have a specified day in which you, the Kohen, are going to be doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And it happens to be that your Beis Av, made up of number of Kohanim, so some of them are Tameh, some of them are Tahor. Again, Tumas Mace we're talking here about. So some are Tameh, some are Tahor. So under those circumstances, so what should we do? So in the first version yesterday of the Nafka Mina, so what you should do is you should still favor the Kohanim that are Tahor over those that are Tameh. Okay. But let's say everyone in our Beis Av is Tameh, Tumas Mace. So under those circumstances, what do I do? So according to Rav Nachman, here's what you do. Today's Kohanim who are all Tameh, they could do the Avodah. Either there are five other Bati Avos for this week, right? Six Bati Avos per week. Shabbos doesn't count towards the Bati Avos count. So there are five other Bati Avos this week. Let's go to another Beis Av. Let's get Kohanim from another Beis Av. Just use another Kohen from another day. Rav Nachman says unnecessary. Why? Because Tumas Hutra B'Tzibor. Because once there's an allowance, so the Torah basically says it's a full dispensation. That is Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes will say no. If there's another avenue, take the other avenue. Here there is another avenue. Get a coin from another Beis Av. Have him do the Avodah. Okay, that is version number one of the Nafka Mina. Version number two is basically the same, but Rav Nachman is more amplified. What do I mean by that? In version number two, if we have a Beis Av, where some are Tahor, some are Tameh, so according to version number two, Rav Nachman will tell you, any coin can do the Avodah. Even though we have Kohanim who in this Beis Av or Tahor, yeah, but Tumas Hutra B'Tzibor, there's a total allowance, a total dispensation. You can even use a Kohen who's Tameh. That's version number two. And obviously in version number two, Rav Sheshes' position will not change. Rav Sheshes' position will be that if there's another avenue, take the other avenue, because Tumah is Dechuya B'Tzibor. This is a machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, which we introduced yesterday, and today's daf, the entirety of today's daf, Zayin and Yuma, is all going to be a discussion of this very fundamental machlokus. You probably heard of Tumah Dechuya and Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor as it relates to Shabbos, meaning not Avoda in Tumah, but in terms of being Mechal Shabbos. In other words, you have a Chola, somebody who's sick and he's a cholosheish basakani, he's a person who's in critical condition. So you violate Shabbos for such an individual. That's the Befer Shalacha. Is that duchuya or is that hotra? So you probably heard language like that used. It's more popular. It is more popular, but in terms of the Gemara speaks about this language of duchuya hotra in our context. Meaning this is really the classic source of the discussion of hotra or duchuya. When the Torah gives an allowance, is it a full allowance like Rav Nachman or no? It's a dispensation, but begrudgingly. And if there's another way to go, if there's another route to go, so you should go that other route. So where's the source of this halacha that if we are dealing with Tumas Meis, that you can that Tumah is going to override the Avodah is going to override the Tumah? So I take a look at the top Rashi in Zayin Amud Aleph. I didn't quote it last night when I said over the when I recorded the daf. But if you take a look at the top Rashi in Zayin Amud Aleph. Call Thomas Meis Bitzibor, Shaya Rachmana. That's the Gemara quoting the line of Rav Nachman. Meaning it's totally Hutra Dichsiv. Ish ki yeh Tamil Nefesh, Yaseh Pesach Sheni. So when you have an individual who's Tamil Nefesh, a person who's Tamil Meis, so he's going to be postponed to Pesach Sheni. Ish Nidchel Pesach Sheni, Ve'in Tzibor Nidchen. If you have a community who is Tamil, so then they can offer Pesach when? Even on Pesach Rishon. They're Tamei? Correct, they're Tamei. But since they represent the majority, they constitute the majority, so therefore we're going to say that Tuma is Hutra B'tzibor. So that's the source of this halacha. Obviously, the Torah is talking about Tamei L'Nefesh, which means Tumas Meis, and Rashi just simply points out, Aval, Zavin, Mitzarain, Nidos, Yoldos, Shetumas Yosei Alav Migufo, Lo Hutra, Ubol Nida Kenida, any other type of Tuma, where the tumah emanates from their body. So the right zav anida yoledus Rashi go mitzora. Rashi basically covers all the other people who are navatama, but the tumah is yotzei migufo. So they don't have an allowance. They don't have a dispensation. So this dispensation is limited in its nature. Yes, there is the idea that a vote is going to override tumah, but that's only tumas mace and no other type of tumah. Good. That is all a setup for today's daf. Let's begin. We're on the very tape. We're on the second line of Zayin Amud Aleph. And here for the first half of today's daf, all we're going to be doing is bringing support after support for Rav Sheshes. The Gemara is going to be quoting four brises in a row in succession. All of them are going to be a support for Rav Sheshes. That Tumah is not Hutra, but Tumah is Dechuya. The Torah begrudgingly allows Tumas Meis to be overridden. But if there's another avenue, so you should take another avenue. So let's go. Let's rattle all four brises in a row. I'm Rav Sheshes Manami Nala Detanya. So Rav Sheshes says here, I'm going to be citing brises that clearly support my position. Let's go, brisa number one. Haya Omed Umakriv Minchas HaOmer. So a person is ready to offer the Minchas HaOmer. Minchas HaOmer, of course, is offered on the second day of Pesach, 16th day of Nisan. It is a barley offering. It is offered because, number one, the Torah says to. In other words, it's one of the karbanos of the calendar, but it also has a function to it in that it's matir. Any grains that grew over the past season, or at least have taken root over the past season, so those grains are going to be nitar. Those grains are going to be mutar with the bringing of the karban omer. So you have the kohen who's ready to be offering the karban omer on the second day of Pesach. V'nitmis biyado, and the karban becomes tamei. So omer. So what we do, the girsa over here is a little, right, but anyway, so what we do is, if there's another carbon omer, so offer another carbon omer, meaning, if you can, redo the carbon omer. However, but if this is it, if this is the only barley that we have to, that we have to offer, so omrim lo, so we say to the Kohen, look, right now, this is what we're gonna offer. And I'd advise you to be quiet, meaning don't make a big deal about it, don't publicize it, don't broadcast it. But in other words, but this is what we're going to be offering, right? So what is this brisa telling us? It's actually being very clear. This brisa is telling us is that if there's another avenue in which we can go down, so we should head down another avenue. If we could find a substitute carbon omer, so let's bring another carbon omer that's not tamei but rather tahor. But if under if there's no alternative, so then bring this as your carbon omer. The brisa really couldn't be any clearer. This brisa really is a strong support for Rav Sheshes that even though Tumah is allowed, but it's dechuya. If there's another avenue to take the other avenue. So Ketani Mias, and that's exactly the Gemara's observation of the brisa. Omer Umevi and Acheres Tachteha. So bring a substitute if that's possible. So you see, it's dechuya, not hutra. I'm Rav Nachman, Modina Hechadika Shiraim Lachila. So Rav Nachman says, okay, I'm going to give you this one, but Rav Nachman says, but this is exceptional, and I'll tell you why it's exceptional. It's exceptional because consider, when it comes to the Minchas Omer, what happens to this carbon? So what happens to this carbon, as is the case with most menachos, not every mincha, mincha v'kohen, it's not true. But what happens with this mincha is that the komet is going to be offered up onto the mizbeach, a fistful of the mincha is going to be offered up, and then the shiraim and the rest of the carbon is going to be consumed. So over here, look, even when we subscribe to the idea that tuma is hutra or dechuya, bitzibor, so that only means that we can offer the carbon. In no way, shape, or form are we allowed to eat the carbon in a state of tuma. The hutra or dechuya, the allowance that's given, is only to do the avoda, but not to consume the carbon. So over here, Rav Nachman says back to Rav Sheshes, I'm going to give you this one, but you have to understand that this is different, because we're talking about now the inability to eat the carbon omer. If we're talking about eating the carbon omer, so then I agree. So then if we could bring the omer in a state of tahara, we'd like to bring the omer in a state of tahara, so that the Kohanim would be able to eat the carbon omer. So I'll give this one to you, but only because of our interest and desire to eat the carbon. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge with a second brisa. Haya makriv parim. Haya makriv. Minchas parim ve'elim ukvasim. So you're offering the mincha. Mincha over here means nesachim, right? The nesachim of a par, an ayah, and a keves. V'nitmeis b'yado, and it becomes tamei. So omer umevin acheres tachta. So any one of the nesachim of any of these karbanos. Now we don't know which karbanos we're talking about right now. In other words, we do know what type of animals they are: par, ayah, and keves. We don't know what they're connected to. In a moment, we're going to speculate. But if I have the nesachim of any of these karbanos, then the nesachim become tamei. So then, what you should do is switch it out for nesachim that are tahor. The imein shem elahi. Now, if these are the only nesachim that we have, so omrim lo have pikechu shesok. So once again, we say to the kohen, look, we're going to offer it. Don't make a big deal about it. Don't broadcast it. Don't advertise it. All right, be quiet. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to offer the nesachim in the state of tuma. So here's what's clear, and that is that we're talking about a karban. We don't know exactly which karbanus we're talking about. We're talking about a karban. We're talking about the nesachim, and tuma was introduced. And meanwhile, the brisa says very clearly that if there's an alternative route, go down the alternative route. Substitute it for nesachim that are tahor. Once again, it's a very clear raya for Rav Sheshes. It's a difficulty for Rav Nachman. Now, what kind of karbanos are we talking about? My love, parim, elim, ukvasim, dechag. So presumably we're talking about the karbanos that are brought on Sukkos. Could have given any other yontif, but it just happens to be that on Sukkos all of these karbanos are offered. Now, what do we have over here? If we're right, we're talking about a karban tzibur. That's kavua zman. And there's tuma, and it's clear in the brisa that it's dechuya and not hutra. So I'm lecha Rav Nachman lo. So Rav Nachman would say no. In other words, here's what I would tell you, that when it comes to a carbon seabor that is kavuazman, I'm saying hutra. But what I'll say about this brisa is that we're not talking about a carbon that's kavuazman. Let's take each one of the animals that are mentioned, three animals that are mentioned in this brisa. So parim paravodazara. So when we say parim, we're talking about the paravodazara. Alpha gav de seabor he kevin delo kvia lezman mehadrinan. So as far as the paravodazara is concerned, in the event that you have the majority of the Jewish people who were over the Avodah Zarah, so there's a special carbon that's brought. That carbon is outlined, it's detailed in Parsha Shlach. So there, it is a public carbon at the very same time. It's also not calendaric. It is not attached to the calendar. It's only brought as necessary, if necessary. So Rav Nachman will say to Rav Sheshes, there, I'm with you. It's Dechuya. But you're not with me. Meaning I'm saying that a carbon zebra that's kavuazman, hutra. That's not what the brisa is talking about. We have two more animals to cover in the brisa. Elim, be'elu shel Aaron. So, and as far as the isle is concerned, the brisa was talking about the Isle of Aaron. The alfagav dekviya leizman. Now it's true the Isle of Aaron that he offers on Yom Kippur is calendarically connected, but kevin diachru madrinan. But it's not public. The Isle of Aaron is funded by Aaron. It's a private carbon. So there also, I don't maintain hutra. I maintain dechuya. And finally, kvasim bekevas abayim ha'omer. And as far as kvasim is concerned, we know what the Bryce is talking about over there. The two sheep that are offered on Shavuos, de'ika shiraim la'achila, because over there, without the kvasim, you don't bring the shtei alechem. And we would not be able to eat the shiraim of the shtei alechem. Again, that's for the purposes of consumption. Basically, what Rav Nachman says to Rav Shesh is that we're going to identify every one of the animals connected to something that's not hutra, but rather dechuya. So, and basically what we covered are Rav Nachman's three exceptions. Meaning Rav Nachman will say hutra, but only under the circumstance where it is a carbon sibor, that's kavuazman, that doesn't involve achila, that doesn't involve eating. And basically what we just covered in this brisa is Rav Nachman will tell you, we'll just go over quickly again, the par, so that's a carbon sibor, but partial avodah zarah. It's not kavua zman. And the aisle, is a reference to the carbon offered by Aaron on Yom Kippur. So that is calendaric, but it's not sibor, it's yachid. And the kvasim, that's shivuos. And there, if I bring it in a state of tumah, we're not going to be able to eat the shirayim. And again, if we're not able to eat the shirayim, so then I'm with you. So then we should go down another avenue. However, if it is a carbon sibor, that's kavu azman, where no achila is involved, so then it's hutra, not tuchuya. Okay, it's a sensational defense of Rav Nachman. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges once again. Dam shenitma vizarko. So let's say the blood becomes tameh, and you do the zrika, bishogeg. Now, if it was done inadvertently, so hurtza. So what's going to happen is that the tzitz is going to create ritzui. So this is a concept we've covered time and again throughout Shas, and the idea that the tzitz is able to push through tumma. No other disqualification, no other psul, the tzitz is able to push through. But the tzitz, when the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, although what I just said is controversial, as we're going to see at the end of today's daf. When the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, so what it's able to do is it's able to push through tumma. So that under normal circumstances, the tumma would not be accepted, would not be allowed. But when the Kohen Gadol is wearing its tzitz, the tumma would be allowed. So in this brisa, if I have the blood that becomes tameh and it was sprinkled on the mizbeach, so if it was done so b'shogeg inadvertently, so then hurtza, the tzitz pushes it through. Now b'mezid lo hurtza, but if it was done intentionally, the tzitz is not going to push it through and it still remains disqualified. Now over here, this clearly is in favor of Rav Sheshes. It clearly is a question of Rav Nachman. Because according to Rav Nachman, what do we say regarding Tumas Meis? Hutra b'tzibor. Now, hutra means it's totally allowed. And by totally allowed, it means on top of everything else, I don't need the tzitz. Meaning the Torah gives a carte blanche dispensation that when I have a carbon tzibor, so Tumas is just simply allowed. It's mutta lagamre. So over here, that we're talking about the tzitz being maratza, and not only that, but we're having limitations. The tzitz is not going to be maratza if it's done b'mezid. I don't understand, Rav Nachman, if you subscribe to Tumah Hutra B'tzibor, so what's the price even talking about over here? So ki tanyahi, so the Gemara says, the yachid. So Rav Nachman will tell you, okay, but what I'll say is that, look, the price over here is extraordinarily nondescript. The price is not talking about what kind of carbon we're talking about. So I'll say very simply that the price is talking about a carbon yachid, not a carbon tzibor. And again, by carbon yachid, so Rav Nachman agrees to Rav Sheshes. We don't have the principle of Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. Again, the whole source of Tumah Hutra B'tzibor is from the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is a Karban Tzibor, not a Karban Yachid. And by the way, just to clarify that point, we've done this already a number of times, but it's important to go over it again. The Karban Pesach being a Karban Tzibor, that's a little bit opaque. Why? Because we know that the Karban Pesach is not purchased with public money. The Karban Pesach is purchased by every individual or by groups of individuals. And then everybody brings the Karban Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash. So is it a Karban Tzibor in the most classic sense? The answer, of course, is no. A Karban Tzibor in the most classic sense is money that's purchased from the Shkalim that we just discussed in the previous Masechta. That's a Karban Tzibor. However, Karban Pesach is qualified as a Karban Tzibor. Why? Because we all bring it together. On Pesach, every Jew is instructed to bring a Karban Pesach or to be mishtatef in a Karban Pesach. So in that regard, it's described as being a Karban Tzibor. So again, it's not a Karban Tzibor in the most classic sense, but nevertheless, vis-a-vis this categorization, we're going to call it a Karban Tzibor. With that stated, so the Gemara says, so that's the whole source of Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. Rav Nachman will say that this Brisa over here is talking about a Karban Yachid, not a Karban Tzibor. Continuing, fourth Brisa of the morning. Fourth brisa of the Amud Aleph, Tashma. Amat tzitz meratzeh. So the tzitz is going to be meratzeh. The tzitz is going to push through the psul of tuma. And specifically over what? So this brisa over here is going to be much more descript. The previous brisa was nondescript. This brisa over here is going to be very specific. Amat tzitz meratzeh ala dam v'ala basav ala chelev. So over either the blood or the meat or the chelev of an animal, shenitma, ben b'shogig, ben b'mezid, and whether the tuma came b'shogig or b'mezid. By the way, notice, this brisa over here is against the previous brisa that made a clear distinction between shogig and mezid. The Gemara, not here in Yuma, but the Gemara, hopefully I remember well, the Gemara in Pesachim, noted that discrepancy. The Gemara over there dealt with it, but anyway. But bein ba'onis, bein b'ratzon, whether it was done with against your will or willingly, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibor, and whether it's a carbon yachid or whether it's a carbon tzibor, the tzitz will be meratzeh. Okay, so over here in this brisa is clearly now going to be much stronger support for Rav Sheshes and a much greater difficulty for Rav Nachman, because the end of the brisa concludes with what kind of karbanos is the tzitz going to be meratzeh? It's going to be meratzeh over a carbon tzibor. And so here you have it. The brisa says that the tzitz is meratzeh for the carbon tzibor. Once again, we turn our attention to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, you say that tumas hutra b'tzibor. If tumas hutra b'tzibor, so do you know what that means? That means that it's a total allowance. I don't need the tzitz. The tzitz is just simply unnecessary. I don't need to push it through. Tuma hutra b'tzibor tells me that's perfectly allowed. And meanwhile, in this brisa over here, which is clearly talking about carbon tzibor, it says I need the tzitz. Okay, so that's difficult for Rav Nachman. So why do I need the ritzui? So I'm lecha Rav Nachman ki ketani atzitz meratzeh adi achin. So one answer in defense of Rav Nachman is a bit of a dochek, a forced answer, is that, yeah, you know what the tzitz is meratzeh only for the carbon yachid, not for the carbon tzibor. Meaning that when we're reading the brisa, so we're basically going to bifurcate. As we get to the end of the brisa, the tzitz is going to be meratzeh for what? For the carbon yachid. And even though at the end of the brisa does say tzibor, but for tzibor, I don't need the tzitz. Because tumas hutra b'tzibor. Admittedly, a difficult read of the brisa, but that's one answer in defense of Rav Nachman. Ibai Sama, the Gemara says, I'll give you another defense of Rav Nachman. Afilo tema b'tzibor, b'hanach galokvi aleizman. Okay, this answer is going to be a little bit easier to read the brisa. The brisa is saying that tzitz is going to be meratzeh, even for a carbon tzibor, but a carbon tzibor that is not calendaric. It's not connected to the dates of the calendar. And as we learned earlier this morning, Rav Nachman will admit that if you have a carbon that is not kavu azman, so then, you don't say tumah hutra b'tzibor, and now you're going to need the tzitz. Okay, another way to read the brisa in defense of Rav Nachman. Okay, so that was a lot of evidence against Rav Nachman. We just went through the Amud Aleph of today's daf, and we covered four different brisas, each one of them seemingly strongly endorsing the idea that Tumah is d'chuya b'tzibor. The Torah begrudgingly allows it, but if there's another avenue to go, you should go down that other avenue. So that's what we saw in four brisas in succession on Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, so the Gemara defends Rav Nachman. Finally, okay, we're going to... The Rav Nachman now is going to have a brisa in his corner, and actually a pretty strong brisa in his corner. So Meitzvei the Gemara now quotes the following brisa. We are four lines from the bottom in Zayin Amud Aleph. So Vinasa Aharon es Avon Hakadashim. So what the pasuk describes in Parshas Tetzaveh is that as Aharon now is wearing the begadim, specifically the tzitz, so what it's able to do is it's able to carry. The tzitz has this kind of superpower in which it's able to carry a certain avon, a certain sin, a certain disqualification. Now, which avon are we talking about? Good. So that's where the Torah ends, the Torah Shebichsav ends, and here's where the Torah Baal Peh begins. V'chi eza avon hu nosei. So which avon are we talking about? Im avon pigol. So are we talking about pigol where the Kohen has a machshava of either chutzl zman or chutzim kamo? Harei kver nemar lo yiratzeh. So the Torah by pigol says, b'feirush lo yiratzeh. It's not going to work. V'im avon nosar. Now, are we talking about nosar? Now, there is much discussion over here. Rashi over here already has a good amount of discussion of what do we mean by nosar over here. Nosar means what? That it was left over beyond a lot of time? So what kind of, what are we even entertaining over here? That we're going to offer the nosar? Okay, so there's much to discuss over here in terms of what the definition of nosar is in this context. It could mean that nosar over here means that pigul could mean chutz zmanom, nosar could mean chutzim kamo. Okay, without getting too involved over here, I just want to highlight that Nosar is a bit difficult just to read. But anyway, Harei Kvar Nemar Lo Yichashev. By Nosar, the Torah says that it's also not going to be reckoned. It's not going to be considered. Meaning it's simply no good. So Pigel's out of the discussion. Nosar's out of the discussion. What other disqualifications left? Process of elimination. There's only one disqualification that's left. So ha Eino Nosar Alav and Tumas. We are now on the top of the Amud Beis. So the only Avon that's left open for discussion is going to be Tumah. And what that means to say is that Tumah is allowed. Now let's read on in the Braisa and focus on the next word of the Braisa. Ela Avon Tumah, Shohutra Michlala B'tzibor. Because as it relates to Tumah, and we're talking about a carbon tzibor, so it's Hutra Michlala. So the Braisa says, with very clear terminology, that's Mamash Mutal Lagamri. It's totally allowed. The Torah gives a full 100% dispensation, that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibor, and the Braisa is electing the word Hutra as opposed to Dechuya. It sounds pretty clear that it's Mamish Mutal Lagamri. So Vikashala Rav Sheshet, in fact, the Gemara, after quoting the Braisa, notes, you know, this Braisa really is a strong support for Rav Nachman, because the Braisa uses the word Hutra, so it's difficult for Rav Sheshet, so Tanaihi. So the Gemara says that Rav Sheshet will acknowledge, yes, this Braisa is difficult against me. First of all, Rav Sheshet can go back to the first four Braisas that we quote in the Amud Aleph that support his position. But on top of that, what the Gemara now is going to note is that this is an antiquated machlokas. Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet didn't start this machlokas of whether it's Tumas Hutra B'tzibor, Dechuya B'tzibor. It already goes back to the Tanayim. The Tanayim are debating this very issue. How do I know that? The Gemara now quotes the Tanya. The Gemara quotes the following Braisa. And so now the Gemara is going to be having the following debate. And that is, we know that the tzitz creates a ritzui. The Torah says that as the Kohen is wearing the tzitz, v'nasa aron es avon akachim, so it's able to lift, it's able to carry a certain avon. And as we already identified, that avon is tuma. So that means to say that tzitz is meratza. So basically, when does it work? So, what we're going to see in this braisa over here is a debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of when the tzitz is going to be meratza. And as a side point of this braisa and this particular debate, what's going to come out over here is that as part of their argument, they're going to be arguing whether Tuma is Hutra B'tzibor or Tuma is Dechuya B'tzibor. But you'll see how that comes out. In the meantime, we'll start off with the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, the tzitz is going to be meratza. Do you know when? Ben sheyesh no amitzcho, ben sheyeno amitzcho. The Kohen Gadol doesn't have to be wearing the tzitz. In other words, the tzitz could be in his locker room, okay, locker room in the Beis Hamikdash, but it could be sitting right. I'm sure it's a very nice locker room. So it could be sitting there in the closet, and yet it's going to be a meratzah. That is shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Huda Omer odeu al mitzcho meratzah, ain odeu al mitzcho ain meratzah. And Rabbi Huda counters, and Rabbi Huda says no. Kohen Gadol's got to be wearing the tzitz. If he's wearing the tzitz and tuma occurs, so then it creates ritzui. If he is not wearing the tzitz and tuma occurs, it's not going to be meratzah. So the engine light of the tzitz only is on only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing it. Otherwise, it's simply ineffective. So Amar lo Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, "You can't be right. I know you can't be right." Because Kohen Gadol be Yom Kippur and Yochich Sheino de Al Mitzcho Umiratze. Because consider the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, as is going to be coming up in this week's Parsha. By the way, this is it. Meaning this is the best week of confluence where we have Parsha Zachrimos and we're learning Yuma. So in this week's Parsha, so we're going to learn together that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has got special begadim. Those special begadim are going to all be white as he goes into the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And obviously, as being that the begadim are going to be all white, so any of the gold is not to be worn. The tzitz, of course, is made up of gold. The tzitz is not going to be worn by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And so, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is legislated not to wear the tzitz. And so, so Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, so you're telling me that the only way the tzitz is going to be effective is if the Kohen Gadol is wearing it? On Yom Kippur, he's mandated not to wear it, and yet it still works. So she'eno de'al mitzcho u'meratze. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda hanach lekohen gadol b'yom kippurim. So we have to listen very carefully now to Rabbi Yehuda's response to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Shimon, "You leave Yom Kippur out of the discussion. Why do you leave Yom Kippur out of the discussion? Shetumah hutcher lo betzibur. Because Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Shimon, because we're talking about Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is a carbon tzibur. It's kavua zman. It's hutra. I don't need the tzitz on Yom Kippur because we have a full dispensation of the Torah of tumah being hutcher betzibur. So that is the counter argument of Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Shimon. Now, what does that mean? So it means now that in this dialogue that we just saw between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda's counterpunch to Rabbi Shimon is that Yom Kippur Tumas Hutcher B'Tzibor. What does that tell us regarding Rabbi Shimon's position? The Gemara spells it out. Mechlal de Rabbi Shimon Sefer Tumah Duchuyi B'Tzibor. By Rabbi Shimon using Yom Kippur as evidence that he's right, it's because he fundamentally disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda as to how to look at Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there is an allowance of Tumah. But it's not Hutcher, but rather it's Dechuya. And since it's Dechuya, so whatever we could use in order to push through the Tumah, we're going to do so. Meaning, even if we need the Tzitz, we're going to do so because it's Dechuya, it's not Hutcher. So over here, in this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, what comes out over here is that they fundamentally disagree in terms of the nature dispensation for a carbon Sibur Kavuazman, where Rabbi Yehuda clearly articulates over here that Yom Kippur is Hutcher B'Tzibur, meaning because he subscribes to the Rav Nachman viewpoint of Tumas Hutcher B'Tzibur, where Rabbi Shimon, even though we don't really hear him say this in the Braisa, but it's implied in the Braisa that Rabbi Shimon's disagreement is fundamental, and he holds that Tumah is Dechuya B'Tzibur. So this machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes is now going to be a machlokas Tanaim. So when all said and done now, as we're finishing up today's daf, what really comes out over here is that what we have is a machlokas Amarayim, we have a machlokas Tanaim, in terms of whether or not Tumah is Hutcher B'Tzibur or Dechuya B'Tzibur. Amar Abai, the Gemara basically adds an end note to this discussion. Benishbar, it's kulam lo pligi de la meratza. If let's say the tzitz is currently in disrepair, right? It's broken. So under those circumstances, the tzitz is not going to create ritzui, and that's kulam. Everybody agrees. Keep pligi. The only debate that exists between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is the tali besichta. It's hanging on the peg. Okay, it's in the Kohen Gadol's locker room. Rabbi Yehuda savra am meitzach vinasa. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, it works only when he's wearing it. Read the psukim. It says pretty clearly in the psukim. It has to be on his forehead. Then and only then is it going to create ritzui. And Rabbi Shimon Savar, Tamid L'Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. And Rabbi Shimon says, okay, I'm also looking at the psukim. And the pasuk says that it's going to constantly serve as a Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. The tzitz is always going to be operational, even if it's not worn, but it's tamid. It's all the time. So my tamid. Now, what do you think the word tamid means over there? Elam tamid amitzcho. So do you mean to say that the Kohen's going to be wearing the tzitz 7/24, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? That's simply impossible. That's an implausible suggestion. Mi mishkachala, mi lo bai mei lo beis akise. Kohen Gadol's got to go to the bathroom. He's human. And mi lo bai meinam, Kohen Gadol's also going to sleep. And those are two occasions on a daily basis where the Kohen Gadol is not going to be wearing the tzitz. He can't bring it into the bathroom. He can't wear it while he's sleeping. So it's just simply impossible to understand that the word tamid over there means all the time, meaning that he's wearing it all the time. So what does the word tamid mean? That it must mean Ella tamid meratzahu. So the word tamid has to be understood is that it's constantly effective. It's not going to be constantly worn, but it is going to be constantly effective. That's what the word tamid means, and this seems to be a very strong argument on behalf of Rabbi Shimon. And that means that the tzitz is going to be meratzah, even if the Kohen Gadol is not going to be wearing it. Ula Rabbi Yehuda nami haksiv tamid. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, how is he going to counter? Because it's a really good point. The Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz all the time, and yet it says the word tamid. So, ha'u tamid shelo yasich da'ato mimenu. So the Gemara says, Tamid over there is not talking about when the tzitz is meratza and when the tzitz is effective. Where Rabbi Yehuda will counter and say, no, the tzitz is only effective when the Kohen Gadol is wearing it. Yeah, you're right. The pasuk does say the word Tamid. And yes, you're right. It is implausible to suggest the Kohen Gadol is going to be wearing it all the time. All that's true. But Tamid means that the Kohen has to have, at least not be Mesiach Das from it. Meaning he cannot be distracted from the tzitz. That while he's wearing it, so he's got to be constantly mindful about it. He's got to be conscious about it. So conscientious. Kederava baravuna, damarava baravuna. Chayev adol mamash mish betivol b'chol shav v'shal. Kavachomer mitzitz. And this goes in accordance with Rabbi Rav Huna, because he says that what a person has to do is that when a person's wearing his tefillin, so he's got to be aware of the tefillin at all times, right? Minhag Yisrael is at certain points during the davening. So what we do is that we, quote unquote, adjust our tefillin. We're not adjusting our tefillin. In other words, we just simply put our hands on the tefillin to be more mindful of the tefillin. We have to be aware of the fact that we're wearing tefillin all the time, right? Used to be in the good old days, I'm going back a long time ago. So it used to be in the good old days, so people wore tefillin all day. Good. So when they had the ability to be mindful of their tefillin all day, so that was fine. Nowadays, I don't mean just nowadays, even though, yes, it seems to be that our patience and our attention span has shortened and reduced. But, you know, for the last, I don't know, however many hundreds of years, so we have not been wearing our tefillin all day, just simply because it's really hard to be constantly aware of the tefillin and be cognizant of the fact that we're wearing tefillin. So, chayav adam l'mashmesh b'tefillin b'chol shav v'shav kavachom mitzitz. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, we learn it, we generate this halacha through a kavachomer from the tzitz. Ma tzitz, shein bo elas, kara achas, amar Torah, amitzcho tamed. Now, when it comes to the tzitz, how many times is the Kadosh Baruch Hu name mentioned on the tzitz? So it's only one time. Now it happens to be pretty, yes, it's only one time, but it's pretty outstanding. Meaning the words on the tzitz are Kodesh LaHashem. Debate amongst the Rishonim exactly how that's going to be, how it's going to be engraved onto the tzitz. But regardless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned on the tzitz one time. And meanwhile, how many times is Hashem's name mentioned in the tefillin? So now over here, it gets a little bit tricky, by the way. Are we talking about the Shem Hashem Shin Dalid and the letter Yud that is made up from the Shin on the Shel Rosh and the Dal and the Yud through the Nuts? Or is the Gemara over here making reference to the Shem Hashem that's written in the Ksav on the Klapim of the Tefillin? Probably the latter, probably not the former, but it happens to be that I know it's, you know, that's open for discussion. But regardless, but when it comes to the tefillin, so where there is kama askaros, right? I'm sorry, I lost my spot. So shelo yasiach datom imenu. Let me start from the top of the amud. Umatzit shein bo el askara achas amar Torah amitzcho tamid. So when it comes to the tzitz where the Kohen Gadol is instructed, you have to be aware of it all the time. So shelo yasiach datom imenu, and you cannot and you cannot lose awareness of the tzitz. So tefillin sheish by maskaros harbe alachas kama v'chama. So when it comes to the tzitz where there are multiple references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are multiple times on the tefillin where Shem Hashem is written. So for there, for sure, you should be constantly aware of it at all times while you're wearing it. So basically, when all said and done, the word tamid, as understood by Rabbi Shimon, sorry, the word tamid, as understood by Rabbi Yehuda, is not going to be a reference to how effective it's going to be, and it's going to create a ritzi all the time. Tamid just simply means that while the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, so as to be constantly aware of it. That's what tamid means, and the Gemara also takes us to tefillin as well. Okay, not the best stopping point, but we're already into tomorrow's daf, so I'll pause over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up, even though we really are kind of mid-sentence. Let's quickly review our daf today. We spoke about this idea of tumas hotra b'tzibor, tumas dechuy b'tzibor. When I have a carbon tzibor that's kavua zman, and the tumah that we're describing is tumas meis, so we entered today's daf, really started yesterday's daf, into a fundamental machlokas amarayim between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says that tumas hotra b'tzibor, which means that the Torah gives carte blanche that you can operate and do the avoda as if tumah was not there. Rav Nachman's position is tumah hotra, as opposed to Shitas Rav Sheshes, which is tumah dechuya. No, the tumah is there. We have to be aware of it. If the Torah does not give us another, if the circumstances don't give us another alternative, okay, so we'll do it in a state of tumah. But if there's another avenue, so we should take that other avenue. Machlok is between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. At the end of yesterday's daf, the very beginning, we chazed this morning, so we gave a nafkamina. What happens if the Kohanim of the Beis Av are Tamei? Should I try to get Kohanim of another Beis Av? That's going to be a nafkamina between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. And then in today's daf, very easy to organize and summarize, the Amud Aleph, four brises, all of them supporting Rav Sheshes. That you should go down another avenue if possible. The Gemara defended Rav Nachman from every one of the brises, but each one of the brises is a support for Rav Sheshes. On the bottom of the Amud Aleph, so the Gemara quoted a brisa that clearly is in support of Rav Nachman, because the brisa that starts on the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph, going to the top of Amud Beis, tells us that the as it relates to the tzitz, so the it's no se avon. It's no se avon tuma shetuma hutra michlal tzibur. That the tuma is totally allowed. In other words, the Brisa uses the words hutra as opposed to dechuya, which is a support for Rav Nachman. The Gemara then notes on the Amud Beis, that's a machlokas tanaim. It's not just limited on machlokas tanaim, it's also machlokas tanaim as well. The Gemara quoted a Brisa, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda. Really what they're debating is whether or not the tzitz is maratza while the Kohen is wearing it or the Kohen is not wearing it. But what comes out of the dialogue between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda, as Rabbi Shimon says, what are you going to do about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? And we heard carefully how Rabbi Huda responded. You leave Yom Kippur out of the discussion. Why? Because Tumah's Hutra B'tzibur, not Techuya. So Yom Kippur doesn't serve as a basis of a part of this discussion. Okay, and what comes out over there clearly is that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about the nature of the heter on Yom Kippur. Is it hutra or is it techuya? Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's hutra. Rabbi Shimon would say that it's techuya. And basically that's the machlokes of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. And then as an end note to today's daf, the Gemara talked about how to explain the word tamid. That when it says that the tzitz is on the head of the Kohen Gadol, tamid l'ratzon lefnei Hashem, what does the word tamid mean? So according to Rabbi Shimon, tamid means that it's always effective. It's always going to work, whether he's wearing it, whether he's not wearing it. And Rabbi Yehuda's counter-argument is no. The word tamid just simply means is that while the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, he has to be constantly aware of it. That's what the word tamid means. Okay, we'll stop over here.